This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
Coom!
Oh, no.
We lose Coom?
What have you done, Dustin?
What have we done?
What, at long last, have you done to us?
Got
to
work on those mechanics.
Ron, are you there? Ron, if you're mad at David, don't say anything.
Why would he be mad at me?
He's furious with you.
He's furious. There's no reason to be furious.
Ron, oh my gosh.
Thank goodness, Coom.
Boy,
I apologize.
That was definitely not a Dustin. It was a Coomer issue.
No, I apologize on behalf of David. I don't know what he said.
He was probably right, so it's okay.
He's got to make some adjustments there, Coom.
Yeah, I tried, and it didn't work out real well, David.
Yeah. Well, you know Matt Shaw.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
You know, let's talk about that for a second, because we I guess there was a thing on the MLB Network where they were talking about Miguel Vargas of the White Sox and how he moved his hands up and it's changed his whole game. And they said that it's been the most dramatic change they've seen since the MLB Network came on. And so we started talking about it, and we talked about Matt Shaw in relation to that kind of idea. That I'm just curious, Ron, do you have to be a young player? Do you have to be a relatively new entity to the big leagues in order to make an adjustment that changes you? Or could the right hitting coach change anyone? Could you fix any problem if you went about it the right way, even with a veteran player?
I would say that's a good question. I think for the most part, if you're going to make a change, a dramatic change, the hitter and the player, if the hitting coach throws that out there, the hitter's got to be open to it, first and foremost. And if you're not open to it or you're not 100% all in, it's not going to work. But when you have a lot of failure, you know, that tends to, you know, get you, you know, opening your ears a lot more and your eyes and trying to figure out the why I'm not successful. And that's where, you know, I think for Matty Shaw, I think that's, you know, he found that, you know, they were finding his holes in his swing, and his minor adjustments at the plate early in the season were making it worse. He wasn't making it better. So he really needed another set of eyes and another person to give him some suggestions, I believe, to kind of, you know, mold him back into an athletic position and then let his ability as a hitter kind of take over again, because he's always been a good hitter. So that's still in there. But, you know, sometimes you put your body in a bad position and you just can't make a good swing. And that's what I saw, the position he was in. Now he's in a much better position to hit.
Ron, I really enjoyed your explanation the other night with Pat in a conversation about Pete Crow Armstrong and how, speaking of hitting mechanics, how he has been able to keep his barrel of the bat in the zone longer and how he's right, taken advantage of that to become more of a power hitter. I wonder if you could condense that explanation, because it was really, I think, instructional on how we should understand what's going on with PCA, because it isn't just, okay, boy, that kid's got natural ability. It's something he really has worked on and the Cubs have worked him through.
Well, there's like a progression, David. If you're a young hitter and you've always been like Pete and Matt, you've always dominated wherever you've been, right? So, you know, making adjustments is not tops on your priority list. Why? You're the best player in every league you've been in. You know, high school, college, pick it. You know, they're the best. Now all of a sudden you're playing with the best, you know, 300 players in the world, and you're facing the best pitching. Well, now it's time to make some adjustments. What do you do? I thought John Malian, watching Pete through the winter, like batting or spring training, through some of the things that I'd watch in batting practice at Wrigley last year, this year, using the other side of the field. And what that does, and this is my terminology, it might not be John's or Pete's, but in the terminology I used as a hitter and was used, you know, with me, was staying inside the baseball. And what that does is it allows your hands then to cover the hitting zone for a lot longer. So if your hands, if the barrel is back, your barrel's still in the hitting zone, but it's behind your hands, that's a ball that's going to go to left field for Pete. If his hands stay in that same path, but they get out in front of his body, now all of a sudden that barrel is going to start coming down and into the hitting zone out in front of home plate, all still able to hit the ball fair with authority. But now you get the ball out in front, and that's where these pulled home runs are coming from that we're seeing from Pete. That's kind of a simple way of doing it without being able to really show you. But the thing about using the other side of the field is it allows you to see the ball longer. You get a short, direct swing, and you get a result of a line drive the other way. Pete's hit some home runs that way. All of a sudden, when you do that, the head stays still, the body stays still, the hands work real well, and now you see the ball longer, better, and now you're able to get to the ball inside much easier also, and that's where you're seeing all this power come from.
I just want to ask you a simple question about each guy, about Matt Shaw and Crow Armstrong. I think with Shaw, the way that I saw it explained, and I wonder if it's as simple as this, his leg kick was over his waist to the point where when he came around, he was late when he first came up here. And by reducing that, they got him kind of on time again. And that's been the change with him. And as far as PCA is concerned, I saw this statistic that blew my mind that he, and if you think about it, I think we remember the home runs. He has two home runs that he's hit where they were the two lowest pitched balls hit for home runs this year, where it's almost like a golf swing where the guy is like coming down.
The two iron.
Yeah. And he's just whooching, you know, you almost hear a golf connection. How does that happen? And you know, is that a good sign?
It is a very good sign for Pete. I would say this. Most left-handers years ago handled the ball down better than up. They handled the ball down and in better yet, and that's Pete. Pete is very traditional in that sense. If you watch, when he starts to go to attack the ball, he really uses his lower body, and his lower body kind of goes down into the swing. And because of that, he's not a very big guy, but he's a very strong guy, very strong lower body. You can tell by the way he runs and everything else. But then all of a sudden, you're using your core muscles, whether it be your quads, your glutes, your hammies, you know, and your midsection. And that's where his power is coming from. And that's why he handles that ball down so well. If he could, you know, it's easy to say. It's not easy to do. And I had this same struggle. And he's not having many struggles right now. But the ball up is a pitch that if he can lay off of, that's going to be beneficial to him. Just for a swing path situation. And then what some of the teams are doing is they're throwing the ball down and into him, which he likes, but they're not throwing it even close to the strike zone. And on occasion, he'll chase that, which we all do. That's just part of it. But better him chasing the ball down than chasing the ball up. That would be my, you know, simple thoughts on his approach to hitting. But right now, I wouldn't change a damn thing, man.
Nope.
Not
all the news has been great from the Cubs, because Miguel Amaya going on the injured list and being out 4 to 6 weeks is a tough blow, Coon, for a guy who is having a very good year, and they certainly have come to rely on him, not just at the plate, but the way he has called games. What should they do now? Is Reese McGuire the stopgap option that makes sense? Do you maybe consider bringing up Moises Ballesteros because of his bat, or do you just kind of ride this out as long as you can?
Well, the way it looks right now, I don't think the Cubs, and I say Cubs, I don't think Collins has a lot of confidence in Ballesteros behind the plate is the way it looks.
Yeah.
He's still a young catcher in the sense of being a big league catcher. So he's still got work to do behind the plate that he needs to do. As a hitter, he's a big league hitter. But what's the need for the team? The need for the team is to have Carson Kelly now be your number one, and you need a guy that can catch. That's why Kelly's doing so well and Amaya were doing so well. They were almost on that every other day or something along those lines kind of thing, and it was working. So why change that? And I think as long as McGuire keeps doing what he's doing, he's looked very good behind the plate. He's thrown the ball just fine, and he's got some hits. You know, I mean, he jumped right out there and hit two home runs his first game, but he doesn't look overmatched at the plate at all. He looks just fine. So I think with the catching situation that you're seeing right now is what they're going to go with for a while, and McGuire's going to be the backup guy or the number two guy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The weather should be good today, Coom. There's reports it'll be in the mid-70s, which is always a wonderful thing to have happen. We're inching ever closer to the to Sunday, which is June 1. But like I guess next Monday and Tuesday, it'll be in the high 80s. I mean, it just why is it easier to play baseball in the heat? Why do players tend to hit better? I mean, is it because the wind's not blowing in? Is it what is it about the sun that you know, especially with some guys from you know, different climates? You always hear, oh, well, wait till the weather changes. And how much better can the Cubs offense get?
Cubs offense can get quite a bit better, actually, believe it or not. I mean, when the wind is blowing out and or not blowing, like, you know, like the last game in the series, the wind, you know, was 3 or 4 miles an hour. It was blowing in, but it wasn't affecting the game. Wrigley Field, the hard part about Wrigley is people can sit in the bleachers in the sunshine with the wind at their back blowing right over the top of them and not feel the wind at all and be in shorts and T-shirts. And if you're sitting behind home plate in the dugouts, you're on the field where the wind gets to you, it could be a 30-degree difference.
Right.
And that is fact. That's not, you know, we joke about it, but that's the truth, man. And that wind blowing off the lake, blowing the ball in, as soon as the ball gets up above the stands, the game gets totally affected by the wind and the cold. So that's why it's so difficult. And you really have to be two types of hitters at Wrigley Field. You have to understand that when the wind is blowing in like that and it's cold, you've got to keep the ball out of the air. You hit the high fly ball, it's just an out. Now, today, 70 degrees, sun. If the wind's blowing out of the south and it's blowing out, you don't want to hit a ground ball. You want to get everything elevated. So you really have to be two types of hitters. And that's not always the easiest thing in the world, especially for a young hitter that's, you know, just trying to figure out his swing to begin with to be in the league. So, but there's a major difference in the way you play. The Cubs would play more small ball with the wind blowing in. They're going to run a lot more wind blowing out. You're going to see guys looking to elevate the baseball, and the running game will slow down some. You know, you ever going to tell Pete Armstrong not to steal? I don't think so. You know, but there's some guys that, you know, you don't want to make outs on the bases. Let's put it that way.
Speaking of speed, Coom, in what ways are the Cubs, or maybe you can explain why the Cubs are such a good base running team and make such an impact in manufacturing runs that way by use of their speed, but in what ways is that happening well beyond just the obvious thing that they're fast?
I would say emphasis on base running. When when your manager and his coaching staff put an emphasis on getting the next 90 feet or getting, you know, adding a 90 feet to whatever you're doing and looking for that, some players do that naturally. I think probably on the Cubs right now, that's been there for a while, not just this year, like Pete, but like a Nico Horner. When you watch Nico play and he puts the ball in play, it always seems like he's pushing the defense to stop them from going the next 90 feet. If it's a single, he's taking a big turn and he's making them shut him down from going for a double. If it's first to third, they're shutting him down at second base. So if there's an emphasis with the whole club on getting an extra 90 feet, boy, that gets contagious. And when guys start doing that and making that play happen, even if it's close to third or wherever it is, and boy, the dugout, that's just like a shot of adrenaline in a dugout. And I really believe most of the guys, if not all, are really buying into this base running, you know, putting pressure on the defense. It's fun, too, because you're watching a guy like Pete Armstrong hit a ball in the gap, and the ball's already on its way in, and he's coming around second. You know he's going for three, and you're like, here we go. Let's see what's going to happen. And a cloud of dust to third, he's safe, and the place goes up for grabs, and, you know, Wrigley Field is rocking, and it's fun. So I really think Towns and his coaching staff have got guys buying in on taking another 90 feet, David, is taking the extra 90 feet. I really believe that.
So we've waited a few days to get the Genesis Cabrera era going. What I mean, you know, we like, just generally speaking, do you like multiple lefties coming out of the bullpen? Is that a big deal, a minor deal? Is that a good thing to have? And, you know, clearly here's a guy that they like, and they feel like, you know, the Mets got rid of him and there's value there, so they jumped on it. And I got no problem with it, but I just wonder if the whole lefty-righty thing is overblown out of the bullpen.
Well, it's one of those situations now where you look at lineups, Mike, and the lineup goes left, right, left, right, left, right, yep, right, left, right. You know, yep, they go every other, and they do that just to combat, with the new rules, that left-hander dominating, right? So you have, you know, they've got to come in and face three hitters. Well, Cabrera is a guy with his ability to throw hard. I think they just love that idea, and they've seen that against the Cubs where he's been dominant at times. So can you send him to the minor leagues and work with him and get him throwing more strikes and throwing more quality strikes, maybe, you know, working on his breaking ball or his change up a little bit to make that more effective, you know, because it doesn't have to be a lot more effective.
Right.
When you throw 95 to 100, it just needs to be a little bit more effective. You know, Daniel Plunce, he's one of those guys, right? Just a little tweak, and next thing you know, you got a dominant pitcher. You know, so, you know, there's definitely ability there. And when you can throw 95 to 100 miles an hour, but it's worth the risk. I really believe that.
Coom, 30 seconds. Why is Matt Shaw seem better defensively as well as offensively? He's making some great plays at third base.
I think confidence, hard work, the feeling of belonging in the big leagues, David. Confidence in getting a few hits has helped him. Just feel this feeling of belonging, you know, at this level. I think that's something that, you know, carries over to all of your all the parts of your game. I really believe that. Scouts all told me he's going to make the great play. It's the routine play at third base that he just needs to keep working on, and we'll get it. I think what we're seeing is his athletic ability making the great play. The ones that make me feel good are the not so routine, but they're a play a third baseman should make. He's making those too now, and making them fairly regularly. Like you know, you're not over there going, is he going to make that play or not? He's making all the plays. I think it's a confidence and a belonging, a sense of belonging in the big leagues, and that's carrying over.
Great stuff, Ron. Always a joy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Coom.
I'm sitting in the sun right now, guys, in my place downtown. It's going to be 75 and sunny. Wrigley Field will be rocking tonight.
Oh, yeah. Ball be going out.
Enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.